I bid you all a good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for choosing to make the effort to be out tonight. It says a lot about you and your love for God and the people here, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate those good songs that Ron picked out this evening to lead us in, that kind of carried the theme of my lesson here this evening. I appreciate the forethought of all the song leaders who do that, and Ron in particular does a wonderful job of doing that, and I appreciate that so very much. Peter said one time in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. We wish to glorify God at this moment by preaching and teaching His Word. And I hope you really appreciate that. That this evening, as I bring forth my lesson, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the words of God, for the things that I preach and teach and wish for you to glean knowledge from here tonight, that God may be glorified, that you may be edified and sanctified by it when you obey it. One of the shows when I was growing up was called Growing Pains. And one of the child stars on that went AWOL. They were Canadian born. And I can recall that fresh off an appearance of the Today Show in that morning, Walter and Judith Koenig issued a new statement that was released from the Vancouver police detailing the search of their missing son. And the statement just said this: I just want to know you're okay, said Mr. Koenig, addressing his son directly. If it means you just want to stay where you are, that's okay. You don't have to come back. Just let us know you're okay. You know, when kids go missing, the fear of the unknown is what is most gut-wrenching. I just don't know. And so it is with us day to day on a number of topics. Our lack of knowledge on any given thing causes us pain or insecurity. We just don't know. We don't know what's going on with this or that or this particular situation. Spiritual questions come up with men all the time, and they try to answer these questions through science or philosophy of things they don't seem to know. And what I want you to appreciate here this evening, that God understands the fear of the unknown for His creation, and He addresses that exquisitely for us in the book of 1 John. So if you have your Bibles handy this evening, I'd invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John. Matter of fact, you can turn to chapter 5. It'll be the first lesson or first verse we'll read here in a few moments. And I want you to appreciate here tonight as I bring forth my lesson that there are a number of things that God has revealed to you and I that you and I don't have to go around wondering about. I don't need to depend upon the teachings and the wisdom of men. I don't have to be afraid of the unknown. I don't have to be anxious about these, but God, through His providential power and insight, has provided us the knowledge of these things to help us overcome the fear of the unknown. And so there are six or seven things I'd like to catalog for you here this evening that John just simply says, we know. Well, what's the first thing? The first thing is that we know that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In 1 John 5 and verse 20, he says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus has come so that I might know. God has come in the flesh. In John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. We know that God has come in the flesh. That has been revealed to us. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times in many different ways has spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by also He's made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, which He had Himself purged our sins, or purged for our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh that we might know God, that we might know the essence of God, God's will for you and I. Jesus Himself was the very express image of the person of God. In 1 John 3 and verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to us to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We know. These are not, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, cunningly devised fables. We know. We have the confidence to understand that God came in the flesh. John said it this way in the first part of his good book, 1 John chapter 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen it with our eyes, we have looked upon him, and our hands have handled the word of life. What I want you to appreciate here this evening is that we know that Jesus Christ came in the flesh to save us from our sins. This she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He come, Jesus said, to seek and to save that which is lost. This is a faithful saying, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and whom I am chief. And what I want you to appreciate here this evening is I catalog some things that we know and can have full confidence in, and that is that Jesus Christ came into the world in the flesh, lived in a flesh and blood body just like you and I, that we might know God and that he might purge us from our sins. But secondly, I want you to see this. We might also know God if we keep his commandments. It was read so well a few moments ago from 1 John chapter 2. That should say 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He says, he that says I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and truth's not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We can have complete confidence of the fact that we know God when I keep his commandments. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 5, not in the lusts of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. I know God, therefore I obey God. In flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, some say you don't have any understanding, or excuse me, I should say you do not have to do anything to be pleasing to God. And let me just say to you kindly yet firmly, you know not God. We know God when we keep his commandments. One of the old famous scripture of old in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, as Samuel there is talking to King Saul, who had not went out and utterly destroyed the Amalekites, that God had told him, he said, I'm going to bring all these people back to sacrifice to God. And you may recall Samuel said, is the Lord such great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices than in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. We know God if we keep his commandments. When it was all said and done, as the wise man Solomon wrote his good book in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he looked around about and said, what is it good for man to do under the sun? What is this life all about? He summed that book up this way when he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It was Jesus himself that said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And John the Revelator ended his New Testament in Revelation 22:14 by saying, blessed are they which do his commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city. I want you to appreciate here this evening is that we know God if we keep his commandments. But also John says this, we can know that God abides in us. In 1 John 3, in verse 24, John there says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him, and he in them. And hereby we know, there's the phrase, we know that he abides in us. By the Spirit which he has given us, he abides in us. People ask, is God with me? Where is God? I want you to understand that God wants to be a part of your life. And we know that he is if we keep his commandments. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be perplexed. I don't care what it is that you go through in this life. I want you to leave this place tonight and understand the fact that we know that God is with us and abides with us. In John 14 and verse 23, I read there, if a man love me, he will keep my sayings, and my Father will love him, and we will come and abide with him. Again, in Revelation 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever will open the door to me, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. I know with confidence, as I go about another week, whether we're going on vacation, or we're celebrating with family, or if you have to work, or you have all kinds of trials in your life, we know that God is with us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God there speaking to Joshua said, don't you be troubled, don't you be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. And that is the same confidence that each and every one of us have here this evening. We don't have to have that gut-wrenching anxiety and concern. Is God with me? Is God there? God is with you and I. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8 and verse 16. And I want you to appreciate that John says to you and me, we know that God is with us. And also I want you to see this, that God hears us. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence. You see, that's what John writes about. We think about him as the writer of love, and so he is. But I want you to appreciate the fact that John is the writer of confidence. As you read the Gospel of John and all of his epistles, he's constantly wanting to reaffirm, I am a witness, and therefore you can be confident in the things that I'm saying. And that's what he's saying here once again in 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that God hears. Many times folks will ask prayers of God, petition things of God, and things don't happen like we want them to happen. I mean, most of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, many times think of prayer as kind of like a genie in a bottle, right? I want this. I want that. And if it doesn't occur, we think, well, God doesn't hear me. No, I have the confidence, Jeff, that whatever I ask at any time, God most certainly hears. I have that confidence to know that whatever it is that I utter, my thoughts, all my actions are never hidden from God, and I have the confidence that he hears me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6, and verse 7. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. His eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open to your prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, James 5 and verse 16. And you can't read all these statements made in God's word without understanding that we know that God hears. God hears our prayers. God answers prayers in three ways. Yes, no, not yet. One thing I do know is this, he hears my prayers. And so as I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But also I know this, we have passed from death to life. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 14, we know. I love that phrase. Go through the book of John sometime and just underline that in your Bible. That's what I did one night. That's how I came up with this sermon. We No. What do we know, John? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides still in death. Isn't that amazing? That the love of our brethren has something to do with us passing from death unto life. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come to give you life, and we know that we passed from death unto life. We can do little for God, but we can do much in loving his own. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 36 through the end of that chapter, verse 30, I should say, through the end of that chapter there, Jesus gives the parable of the great nations setting before him. And you may recall he talks to those who he says, I want you to depart from me, the goats. I had brethren here that, I mean, I should say, was sick and in prison. You came not to me. I was hungry. You didn't give me food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me drink. When we see you in that kind of condition, as much as you did it not to the least of these that believe in me, you've neither done it to me. And I need to understand that my love for my fellow man and my love for my brethren says an awful lot about me and my confidence of having passed from death, that is the death of my sins, unto life, that is the life that is found in Christ Jesus. In John 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, even so do thee. Loving one another, loving neighbor as thyself, was not a new command. You can find it in the book of Leviticus. You will find it in the Old Testament scripture. But what you don't find is that illustration of the love that I have shown. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God committed his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. By this, the world will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, we read there that he that loveth not does not know God, for God himself is love. In Romans 13 and verse 10, let brotherly love continue. John says, we know, that is, we can have confidence that I'm abiding in the love and the life that is found in Jesus Christ. How? By loving the brethren. But also, and one of my favorites is this, I know we have eternal life. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, John there says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Sometimes you might get the question, are you going to heaven? And the question is how do you answer that? John says, listen, I'm going to tell you what the answer to that is. I'm writing these things so that you might know. The anxiety of the unknown, not knowing for sure. That's what's so gut-wrenching when a kid is gone or some other situation and relationship isn't working out. What's going on behind the scenes? And it just tears your guts inside out. I want you to appreciate, you have to have that in regards to the destination of your soul. I've written these things so that you might know that you have everlasting life. John said in 1 John 5 and verse 11, for this is the record that he has given us, everlasting life, and that life is in his Son. In Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, you become the servants of God, you have the fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Listen to the confidence Paul is telling these Romans. This is what God has given you in hope of everlasting, which God, who cannot lie, has promised before the world began. You going to heaven? Hope so. I want you to appreciate, John says, I've written these things that you might know you have everlasting life. And finally, I want you to see this. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, Paul said, but some may say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is discussing a dispute over whether there is truly a resurrection. As some of the Corinthian brethren argued and questioned, what kind of body could it be? The old one was decayed. The old one was burned. The old one was lost at sea. How in the world can a body that's either gone or decayed, how can that be resurrected? Someone says, well, we don't know. I beg to differ. Because I know what kind of body I'm going to have. And I want you to consider it tonight because it's very exhilarating and it's very thrilling. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, John says this, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we know. What do we know? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We will be like him. And before you think that maybe John just had kind of a weird twist of phrase, I want you to hear this statement that Paul makes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. When there he says, "For our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned," listen, "like unto his glorious body." How shall the dead be raised? What body shall it have? I've not seen it, but we know we'll be like him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 48, the Apostle Paul addressing this, he says, "As the earthy, such are they that are of the earth, and the heavenly, such are they that are heaven. We have borne the image of the earthy. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Now let that sink in. We all wear a flesh and blood body, just like Adam did. We're talking about in the context. Remember Adam and Eve? His wife. We all live in a flesh and blood body like that. Just as we have worn that, one day we will bear the image of the heavenly, the one who came from heaven. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But listen, I show you a mystery." I sit around and worry about it. I'm going to tell you what it is. "We shall not all die, but we all shall be changed." Jesus Christ is coming again. We've talked about that in the past. We talked about that this morning. Some folks will have died in the flesh. They'll be raised. Some of us may still be alive when Jesus comes. Whichever condition we find ourselves in, it makes no difference. Those that have died or those that are alive do not precede those which have died. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, "But we all will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, the last trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's twice he said that in two different verses. We're going to be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this has happened, then shall be brought to pass the saying, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How would it be like to put on a body like Jesus's? Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's seven things here, I believe, that John says we know. We know that Jesus Christ came to flesh so that we might know God and that he might purge us from our sins. We know God if we keep his commandments. We know that God is ever with us and abides in us. We know that God hears us. We know that we've passed from death unto life. We love the brethren. We know we have eternal life. And we know we shall be as he is. And if you know that, you know more than most people in the world know about their state, where we're going, what we're going to be like, and how thrilling that is, that these things have been given to you and I that we might know. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to go to some movie and have them scare me to death about some hopeless end of the world. We know the outcome. We know the truth. And if we learn these things tonight, I think our time will be very profitable. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this evening. Remember, as one in our audience who has not been obedient to the words of God when he said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." This is your opportunity to do that very thing here tonight. Maybe there's other things that we can do from a congregation that the Lord will allow. We're here, ready and willing, able to do that here this evening for you. And we extend the Lord's invitation to you. And we sing this song to encourage you. So if you're something anyway, come forward now as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord.